welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
There's nobody like the God you serve. You ought to make some noise this morning. Give our God some praise. Yes. Good morning, Redeemer. Welcome to all of you who are listening on the conference line. Welcome to all of you that are viewing by live stream. Today is the holiest day on the Christian calendar. Today is Resurrection Sunday. It's the day that all Christians celebrate Jesus' resurrection. You see, because our Lord and our Savior, he's not dead. He's alive. For the grave couldn't hold him. Scripture teaches that the last enemy was death. And death did not defeat him. So on Resurrection Sunday, we celebrate Christ is risen. Yeah. Woo. Woo. If you would, meet me in Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Asked if you would keep your Bible open, and also would ask, it's okay if you want to sit down. There is a large reading of Scripture, and that's only because it is a narrative, and God asked me to read the entire narrative. So I'm just on divine assignment today. And I'm going to tell you, God has blessed us, and God is still blessing us. So as you turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and beginning at verse 13 in the NIV, there's a heading for most translations, and it says, On the Road to Emmaus. Verse 13 reads, Now the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked alongside of them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, What are you discussing together as you walk along? They stood, and their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleophas, asked him, Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death. They crucified him. Verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all of this took place. In addition, some of our women, amazed, they went to the tomb early this morning, but they did not find his body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and they found it, just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, how slow to believe all the things the prophet has spoken. Did not the Messiah had to suffer these things and then enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he explained to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. And as they approached the village they were going, Jesus continued on as he was going further. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. So he went in and he stayed with them. And when they were seated at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Amen. My focus verse, and you can be seated, is verse 21. Verse 21 said, but we had hoped that he was the one. For the next several minutes, I want to talk from the subject, the resurrection of hope. The resurrection of hope. Pray with me. Father, I stretch my hand to you, for there's no other help I know. If thou withdraw yourself from me, where would I go? Father, it is time for preaching, and your people need a word from you. God, I've studied, but I need your spirit. I prepared, but I need your power. God, move like only you can, and we will be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Today, we find ourselves in the midst of the deadly and invisible coronavirus. I don't know about you, but my heart gets heavy seeing people in hospitals across the nation struggling, suffering to breathe as they fight for their lives. Not to mention the fact that all we hear on the news day in and day out is about the number of people that are affected and the number of people that have died. And then there's the caveat that the rate continues to rise. So in an effort to try to stop the spread, the government has ordered all non-essential businesses to close their doors, creating record number of people being unemployed, leaving many of us without a paycheck, thus being unable to buy food and pay our bills. In addition to that, there's the shelter in place, mandating that we all be confined in our homes. This has allowed me to get a good understanding of what they mean by cabin fever. Then there's the scientists, the ones who should know, but they don't know or can't give a date of when our misery will end. Even as believers, we wonder, when will we get back to worship as normal? to have to deal daily with the painful effects of the coronavirus on our lives can lead many of us to feel as though we are in a hopeless situation. In fact, as I speak this morning, somebody's hope has died. Somebody on this Resurrection Sunday needs their hope to be resurrected. It's a sad thing when hope dies. And let me make a clarification as I go further. There's a difference between hope and faith. You see, faith is trusting and believing in God. But hope, I'm expecting that God will. You see, my faith, I trust and believe that God is able. But my hope, I expect God to make a way. I expect God to open doors. I expect God to do great things. I expect God to answer my prayers. There's a difference between expecting and believing. Somebody listening today, your issue is not your faith, but your issue is your hope. Oh, believer, you believe in God, but your hope is dead. How do you know when your hope has died? I'll tell you how you know. When you find yourself in a situation and you just don't believe that it's going to change. Or you believe that tomorrow will not be any better than today. When you don't have any expectations of when the current crisis will end. What a shame is it to be in a place where hope has died. All of us, from the pulpit to the door, will one day have to walk on the road to Emmaus. What am I saying? The text says that Cleophas and the unnamed disciple, whenever in Scripture there's an unnamed disciple, that's a hint or an indication to put your name in the slot. In other words, you may have been going to doctor after doctor after doctor, and all you get is bad news, bad news, bad news. Your hope will die. You may have a wayward child that has turned their life around, but somehow they have backslidden into the grips of Satan's powerful hand. Your hope will die. You may have found who you thought was your new boo, only to find it just as bad as the last couple of jokers. Your hope may die. Yeah, all of us will have to walk the Emmaus Road. So here we are at the end of Luke's gospel, chapter 24. Jesus, in the early verses of the chapter, Jesus has been crucified, resurrected on the third day. But the story that was read in your hearing, it tells of two disciples that find themselves in a hopeless situation. One is Cleopas and the other is unnamed, and their hope has died. The Bible says they left Jerusalem on a 7-day journey to Emmaus, and they're talking about what had just happened. Now, the Bible doesn't say exactly what they were talking about, but if I could just use my imagination, I believe it went something like this. Can you believe what just happened? Can you believe what they did to our Jesus? I just can't believe that Pontius sentenced him to death. And can you believe Judas sold him out 30 pieces of silver? I just can't believe his right-hand man, Peter, denied him three times. I can't believe it. While they were talking, Jesus shows up. Bible says they couldn't recognize him. That only goes to show you, sometimes we can be in such a state of hopelessness that we can't see Jesus in our situation. Sometimes we can be in such a state of hopelessness that we can't even see our help when it shows up. Jesus says, what are y'all talking about? They say, you must be the only one in Jerusalem that don't know what happened. It's been on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, is even on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Then the saddest statement comes out of the mouth of these believers. They said, we had hoped. Believers, they said, we had hoped. Listen carefully, and you'll hear the testimony of two believers whose hope has died. Now, I believe that Jesus made a deliberate decision to show up on the road to Emmaus for one reason, and that was to resurrect hope. See, Jesus showed up then, and Jesus still shows up now, so that we can live a life that is full of hope. How can you have faith and still lose your hope? Let me briefly share three ways that hope has died. This way you can see how hope can be resurrected. And then I'll take my seat. My first point. Hope dies when you remove yourself from the connection of the body of Christ. Hope will always die when you decide to unplug and become disconnected from the body. Notice if you will, these two have left Jerusalem and they're on their way to Emmaus. There's a problem with that. You see, the problem is the disciples are in Jerusalem. There's a problem with that. And the problem is the upper room is in Jerusalem. See, the problem with them leaving is that the upper room is where worship is going on. You see, the problem with them leaving is Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem till you see me. These two have walked away, disconnected themselves from the body of believers that are waiting in Jerusalem. The worst thing that you can do when life hits you hard is when it seems like God is not answering your prayers, or when it seems like God is taking too long. The worst thing you can do is to stop having church. The doors may be closed, but the church is open. This is not the time to tune us out on Wednesday night and Sunday morning. This is not the time to sleep late. This is not the time to say you'll get back with us when the doors of the church open. All of us need hope, and it's through the body that we get the encouragement that we need. Your hope will die when you remove yourself from the connection to the body of Christ. Thank God for Facebook. Thank God for the conference call. And we ought to go a step even further. We ought to call a few of our brothers and sisters and just check on them and make sure that nobody gets disconnected. Yeah, because we are a body of believers. My second point, hope will always die when we refuse to wait on the power of the resurrection. Bible says in verse 21, they left on the third day. They basically said, we quit on the third day. They couldn't wait more than 3 days for Jesus. The third day is not the day that we quit. The third day is the day that we shout. See, the old preacher would say it this way. He died on Friday, and he stayed dead all day Friday. He was dead all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. You see, the third day is not the day to quit, but it's the day that we shout. Your hope will always die when you can't wait on God. You can't quit waiting on God. You see, we operate on calendar time, but God operates on strategic time. You see, he may not come when you want it. That's calendar time. But he'll always be on time. That's strategic time. I like how one of the old saints used to say it. They used to say it this way. God may not come when you want him, but you're going to want him when he comes. Yeah! I stopped by today to tell somebody, you can't hurry God. I want this coronavirus thing over like yesterday. But we got to wait. You've got to trust God and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's God, and you can't hurry. But he'll be there. Don't you worry. Psalmist said, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He said, I said, wait on the Lord, and he will strengthen you. Yes, he will. Woo! In order for hope to be resurrected, you've got to be connected to the body. You've got to learn how to wait on God. Let me give you my third reason that hope dies and I'm done. Hope will die when you fail to remember the promises and the performances of the miracles of Christ. You see, when your hope is dying, you have to remember what Jesus said. You've got to remember what you have seen. See, Jesus shows up and he finds these two disciples have lost their hope. Jesus says to them, y'all need some Bible study. So Jesus sits down with them. And Jesus, beginning with Moses, all the way through the prophets, shows them everything in the Word. You see, the text is telling to teach us that it's God's Word that will always encourage our hearts. The reason hope has died is because they don't have any memory of what God said in his word. There's going to come a moment in each and every one of our lives where the only thing that's going to anchor us is the word of God. You've got to have this word hidden in your heart, so that even if you don't have a Bible, you still have God's word. Because life will put you in a place where you gotta know more than a gospel song. Life will put you in a place where you're gonna need more than music to anchor you. You've gotta know some word and have it in your heart. You got to be able to look in the mirror and tell yourself that they that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. You got to remember and tell yourself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Jesus sits down, and Jesus has a Bible study with him. Then Jesus says, I need you to remember the miracles that you have seen. So watch what Jesus does after the Bible study. Jesus goes into the house and he sits down at the table. Jesus takes bread, he breaks it, he blessed it, and he gives it to him. The Bible says, when he gave it, their eyes were open and they could see, and they said, hey, that's Jesus. You see, their hope was restored when Jesus took bread and he broke it, he blessed it, and he gave it to them. Their hope was resurrected when Jesus took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it. Don't miss this. When you see Jesus taking bread, blessing it, and breaking it, It ought to take your mind to a place where you say, we've seen that before. When Jesus takes bread and he breaks it and he blesses it, that ought to take you down memory lane. So you ought to ask yourself, where did we see Jesus take bread, bless it, break it, and distribute it? That if you haven't went to Rice, your first answer would be at the Lord's table on Monday, Thursday. But the teacher in me would have to let you know that's not the correct answer for these two disciples. You see, these two did not participate in the upper room. In the upper room, it was only the 12. So now you've got to ask yourself another question. Where would these two have seen Jesus take bread, break it, bless it, and distribute it? Well, let me help you out, because I know it's early in the morning. For it was in the wilderness with 5,000 hungry folk that were fed that Jesus took bread. He blessed it, broke it, and delivered it, distributed it. Jesus made a miracle out of two fish and five small hamburger rolls. When Jesus takes bread, blesses it, breaks it, Cleophas and the unnamed disciple were reminded of the miracle that they saw. For they were reminded what God had done in their eyes. I stopped by to tell somebody, when your hope is dying, when you don't think tomorrow will be better than today, when you think this is all we'll ever have, when you think things will never change, all you got to do is take a walk down memory lane and find a moment in your life where you know it was God who worked the miracle. When you know it was the Lord, for no man could have done it. When you know it was the Lord that answered your prayers. When you know it was the Lord that removed the tumor. It was the Lord that gave you the raise. It was the Lord that walked with you. Yeah. Yeah. Is there anybody here that know our God is a miracle working God? Well, goodbye, Redeemer. May the Lord bless you real good. But I know there's somebody listening, somebody's watching, that can't recall a miracle, or it's been such a long time. Well, before I take my seat, let me remind you of the greatest miracle ever. See, 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Calvary, they died, crucified our Lord, and he died. The old Baptist preacher said, didn't he die? Didn't he die? Yeah, he was dead all day Saturday. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo! Woo! You see, the power of the resurrection is that whatever is dead in my life can be resurrected because Jesus got up on the third day. In times like this, there's a possibility that our hope may die. But thank God for the resurrection, for our hope can be resurrected. God bless you. Yes. Woo. Father, we thank you. God, you are all that. Lord, we thank you for that message of encouragement that our hope is resurrected. God, when we leave this place, we thank you that our hope tank is back on F, that we leave full of hope. Regardless of what we hear, we will realize, recognize, it's a sad thing for a believer to lose their hope. Now, there may be somebody under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. And just being human, the events over the last 30 days have really, really been trying on just about everybody. It has no respect of person. Therefore, we need a Savior that can handle whatever life brings down the pike. We need a Savior that has already paid the price, that gives us that gift of eternal life. The type of God that in the midst of all of this chaos will give us a peace that will surpass all understanding. We need the God that as the world gets darker and darker, that there are saints whose light will shine brighter and brighter. If that's you, right where you at, and this is between you and Jesus, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. And I believe that Jesus died for my sin. Confess, believe, and accept. And the Bible says, you will be saved. But I want to encourage you, don't stop there. There's something called discipleship, where he says, learn of me. So you need to get connected to a Bible-believing and a Bible-preaching church. We thank God for this season, for this is a season that we will see an increase of believers. Watch God do a mighty thing. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Pray you were blessed.
Just, come on, sing it. Oh.